What's up, podcaster or soon-to-be podcaster? Get ready to level up your podcast game because the number one podcast education summit of the year is back, and it's bigger and better than ever. I'm talking about the second annual podcast summit happening on July 4th and 5th in the content creation capital of the world. You already know, ATL, baby. Atlanta, Georgia, going down July 4th and 5th, two full days. Imagine this. Imagine you getting all the game you need to take your voice, your brand, your business to the next level. Imagine getting all the insider tips. Imagine getting all the know-how that you've been craving for the last 2, 3, 4 years where you're talking about you're going to start a podcast, but you haven't yet because you don't have the tools, you don't have the tips, you don't have the tricks. I don't care if you're just starting or you're a seasoned pro. This summit has something for everyone. Picture you mastering the basics of setting up your podcast or unlocking the secrets to grow your brand on social media. We're not just talking about podcasting here. I'm talking about you want to build a long form catalog, whether it's skits, movies. We got people talking about script writing. This is an incredible experience. Imagine discovering the art of securing these lucrative sponsorship deals. And that's not all. Learn the ropes of creating a pitch deck that has sponsors knocking down your door. But wait. There's more. This isn't just a summit. This is an experience. I'm telling you. Rub shoulders with industry leaders. And you got to network with the other people that are doing what you're doing. All the guests that have ever been on Social Proof Podcast, I'm giving them a free ticket. And in exchange, they promise me that they're going to sit down and do short interviews with you. We got podcast booths for our VIP members where you can sit down, pull somebody to a side, and you're going to create content in real time. I know what you're thinking. How do I get a part of this podcasting paradise? Well, it's simple. All you have to do is head over to podcastsummit.com, grab your tickets now, but hold on, because I have something really, really special for you. I got a little treat for my early birds, people who take action. The next 20 listeners and only 20 listeners who get your tickets right now, okay? I'm not only going to give you 20% off of whatever ticket level you get 20% off, but if you use the promo code BIGDEAL, it'll take 20% off immediately, but I'm also going to allow the first 20 people listening to this right now to be able to bring a friend, bring a teammate, bring a partner for absolutely free. You get general admission, they get general admission. You get VIP, they get VIP. Whatever ticket level you purchase, you get to bring a friend, partner, colleague, boo thing for absolutely free. Nothing extra required. My team's going to reach out to you, get your partner's name, or if you don't have the person you no, right now, yet, you got time, no pressure, you get us back. But use that code BIGDEAL, that triggers to let us know you get to bring someone for free. So don't wait. So secure your spot at the number one podcast education summit in the country. Join us July 4th and 5th in Atlanta. Let's turn your podcast dreams into a reality, y'all. Head over to podcastsummit.com. Use promo code Big Deal at checkout and get your tickets now. Don't miss out on the opportunity to take your podcast to new heights, take your brand to new heights, take your business to new heights with this unprecedented offer, okay? I'll see you at the summit. And don't forget to use promo code Big Deal.
Whatever.
We are here to discuss entrepreneurship.
I am Donnie Williams, your very favorite podcast coach.
Let's switch it back. Shouts out to Celebrity 409. Got our feats right today.
Ooh.
And we didn't even plan this.
It's
like a high five. It's like a low five. Wow. Yo, make sure y'all check in, tap into my boy, Celebrity 409. Tag him. He is the sneaker plug for the Social Proof Podcast. But we are going to get into it. Man, before we get into it, let's have someone talk against their will.
Oh my God.
No, but all this is not long, but shouts out to Ramon, man. He was on the hot seat, and I told this man he's never gonna quit his job. Because Donnie, you know, I like somebody, they make good money on their job.
Okay.
And outside of their job, they got a little business.
A little side hustle.
Yeah, but the business, you're not really going hard in the business because your job is so comfortable.
Listen, been there, done that. I stayed years too long in corporate America because I was getting paid well.
Yeah, I do it. So today, Is the camera good? We all right? What happened? No? Okay. Well, that's cool. So are we plugged up now? We're good? Okay. All right. So today, I just want to bring on real quick, Ramon. He jumped on a morning meet. And he's really like mild tone. But when it came to him quitting his job, Donnie, he got some bravado about himself.
Oh, put a little bass in
it. Super aggressive.
Okay.
He made a post like, David Chance, tag David Chance. He said, I never quit my job.
Look,
I quit my job. And I saw it and I actually reposted. I'm like, yo, super proud of you. Just real quick, how did it feel?
Felt great. I tried to quit a little early on. They asked me to stay on for an additional 2 weeks. I gave it to them. It just felt good though.
Yeah.
But first of all, I just want you to know, after the last hot seat, I went home, I grabbed all the pants out of my wife's closet. So no, can't wear pants no more.
You wear the pants in your household. That's what I'm talking about, baby.
Did you really do that? This is the episode where you told him his wife wears the pants?
Yes.
Be real.
Oh my God. Now that's funny. Yeah. So your wife is now pantsless. Yes. She only wears skirts and shorts with her knees out.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah, and from remembering in the hot seat, I think she's just like you in terms of like safety. Like I need that security. How's that conversation?
Good. I ran it by her. Obviously, yeah. I have to run it by her before I made the move. And she was down with it. She gave me the go ahead. I initially was going to quit in July, but things were just getting too hectic for me. I was like, all right, let me. But she also gave me the go ahead to say, hey, listen, when you feel it, move on it. And I did. And here we are.
Since the hot seat, did you turn up the activity on the business?
I did. Not enough. Now that I really have time, I really have. But yeah, I definitely went harder after the hot seat.
Good. Yeah. All right. Well, congratulations, man.
Are you feeling any different kind of pressure now that you are a full-time entrepreneur for your business to succeed, for the sales to come in every single day, month?
Yes, absolutely. Like right now is actually like the slow period for us. Because nobody wants to do anything outside because it's so hot.
What's your business?
It's an event rental company. So we do tents, tables, and chairs.
In the Atlanta area?
Yeah.
What's the name of the company?
It's called Peachy Party ATL.
Peachy Party ATL. Is that your Instagram? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So you feel a different type of, is it motivation? Is it stress? What are you feeling about making sales?
I'm anxious and stressed. I wouldn't call it motivation. I'm scared, honestly, if I'm being honest.
Okay. Yeah. Do you feel like you jumped too soon or is this your time?
I do think I jumped too soon, but I think it's also my time.
Yo, yeah. Did you let David Shands convince you to quit your job before you were ready?
Maybe there was a little influence there.
Make that a clip.
I told him he'd never leave.
That's yeah. True.
But that was like almost maybe not a year ago. Yeah, maybe yeah. But almost like a year that. Ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, almost a year ago.
Okay. So you've left your job, you're feeling a little anxious. Do you have the mindset yet that it's still possible for you to put some applications in there? Because when I first left corporate America, mm-hmm. I kept my eye plugged in on what was happening on Career Builder a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You leave amicably, just in case.
For sure.
No lie. 2 days ago, I got an email for a portfolio analyst position, which is I was in the finance field. And I was like, damn, this position sounds good. I was like, you know what? Let me unsubscribe to a lot of the job postings on LinkedIn so it doesn't pull me back in. So, yes, I do still feel like I can go back.
That's a good conversation.
It's only been 3 weeks. So,
What made you leave?
I just felt it. I just felt it was time. I didn't have time. I wasn't dedicating enough time to the business. And I wasn't putting 100% effort in at work either. I just felt like it was probably the best thing for every all involved. Yeah.
Listen, I remember when I left my job because I didn't leave my job amicably. So I was going to have to go to a whole other company if I went back into corporate, but maybe the first 2 to 3 years in the back of my mind, even though I was saying out of my mouth, like, I'll never be employable again, I'll never go back into corporate, there was a quiet thought that existed in the back of my mind that I could hear if I just focused on it really good that said, anything is possible. Mm. You could still fill out some applications.
When did you cut that off? Like, when was it like?
All right. That thought went away. So let's see. I stopped working in corporate America fully in 2014. So, and I was doing well. I had my business, an actual business. I owned a property management and luxury concierge service that was really doing extremely well at that time. But I was also in network marketing. So outside of corporate America, I was making a lot of money. But I also made a really strong salary inside of corporate America because I had a salary plus commission. So I really wrote my own check. It wasn't until, you know what it was, you know what the change was for me that talk said to me. I'm unemployable. When I was booked in 2017 for Bishop T.D. Jakes's Mega Fest. And as I was going through that process, initially I was booked just to do like a, what's the other rooms called? You know, the breakout room. I was booked to do like a breakout session. And as we're going through the process, they were offering me more and more stage time as they were becoming more and more familiar with my brand, right? And throughout this whole process, like of entrepreneurship and me being in pursuit of it, my mom never really supported it. She was never really anti it, but she was the mom that said, even though you're doing what you're doing, you still need to go back to college and get your chemical engineering degree. Like, it didn't matter how many bills I paid of hers. Mm-hmm. It was still, you need to go back to college, right? So anyway, fast forward, I get booked for Bishop Jakes' Mega Fest, and I've got several rooms that I'm speaking in. And I was on a main stage speaking behind these dynamic entrepreneurs. In fact, at that time, I believe I was the only non-multimillionaire or non-millionaire at all entrepreneur. I was strong six figures. And I went on stage and everybody, you could see everybody backstage. I brought my mom with me. You could see everybody backstage. Like, they all crowded around because I was doing so well, right? On a stage, I'm not to be played with. And so I'm doing so well. Everybody kind of stopped the conversations backstage and they're all crowded around. And I look to the side and I could see my mom and her face is just full of tears. And all these people are like, that's your daughter? And so I did so well that later that evening, I received a private invite to Bishop T.D. Jakes' birthday party. He was having a birthday party with just his family and friends during that same weekend. And my mom, for the first time, saw my vision. And I think there was something attached to that for me that allowed me to finally release it and say, okay, now my mom is sold on what I'm doing, and now I can kind of let it go. That was the attachment for me. I was so afraid of disappointing her. I was so afraid of failing in front of her because of the judgment, because of all of the things that she poured into me in terms of opportunities. Like, when I looked at my life, it's like, based on how my mom set things up and the things she exposed me to, I should be successful. Like, I should be this chemical engineer who's making $75,000 a year and doing this thing. I couldn't fail in front of my mom. And once I got her buy-in, that was a weight lifted off my shoulders. And I was able to skyrocket after that to the next level.
Wow. So when did you leave the job?
I left corporate in 2014. Okay. I think it was like,
so that was vacation days. Yes.
That was vacation days.
So this is crazy. I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. So during vacation, you were balancing them both?
During vacation, I was balancing my job, my company, and vacation.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I actually managed, you remember I used to live in the Atlantic?
Yeah.
I actually managed that building.
Until when?
Until 2014.
I mean, like, when in 2014?
It was summer. So it was somewhere between June and August is when I left.
So when you came, I don't know, did you come to my store in South DeKalb Mall?
I'm sure I've been there before, but I can't remember
when we met. Did you have a job?
Yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Because you and I met in 2015. Oh, no.
We're 14.
I don't know, Shans. I don't know.
Maybe we met in 15.
Okay. I believe we met in 2015. So no. I wouldn't have, no, because I was coming to your kiosk during the business day. So no, I didn't have a job at that time, but I had my concierge company. So yeah, I had a job and I strongly disliked the job. I strongly disliked the people that I worked with. And I was in management at that property. And what did it for me, the reason I didn't even leave my job to really, like, because I was so motivated to be a full-time entrepreneur, what really did it for me was I was applying for a condo there, mm-hmm. right? I was one of the managers of the building, and there were these white girls who worked there too that technically answered to me. I was one of their managers, and they had recently, within a couple of months, gotten approved for employee apartments or condos there. And so I'm applying for this condo, and they're getting approved. It's like a 20% off discount. They don't have to do any paperwork, no qualifications. It's just, you're an employee. This is a benefit of working here, right? So then I said, I want to do it. And I was already in the market for moving. And so it's my turn to apply for a condo. And suddenly all the rules have changed. Mm-hmm. All the rules have changed now. Now there's no more employee discounts available. Now they want to run my credit. I got to go through a credit check. I got to go through an income verification, because they knew you had to make three times the rent in order to live there, where the rents for these units, I believe at that time, were somewhere around $2,500, right? And you had to make that, and you had to make that, and it was some other qualifications. Anyway, they're taking me through this qualification process that the white girls didn't have to go through. So now I am infuriated. And I went through the process just to show them, they didn't think that I would be able to qualify. I went through the process just to show them that on paper I qualify, but I didn't take the condo from them. Instead, I became an irate employee. I started disrespecting, you know, the job, showing up late and doing my own thing. And because there were owners in that building, as soon as a unit became available by a private owner that the management company wouldn't benefit from, then I went and rented a unit from that private owner. And so in my mind, it was like, I'm about to move into the building. I got money, and now y'all got to serve me because I live here. That's when I quit, and that's how I quit. That's what motivated it.
Man, I think you quit based off a feeling or based off of a calculation of expenses, money coming in, all that kind of stuff?
So it was becoming harder and harder for me to go to work, just to be clear. So because of the emotions that came, there was a season that I went through of like, they got one more time to play with me and I'm out. Like, I knew that I could be out. I knew what I had coming in. So yes, I had done calculations, but it just made sense to keep the job. It was simple, right? It just made sense. Yeah. But because it was becoming an environment where I felt disrespected and disregarded, the emotions motivated it to happen faster than it probably would have.
Got it. And I think everybody's story is different. You, I guess you were just thinking, I'm ready. Like, it wasn't a, man, I hate this place, or I have a bunch of money coming in. It was just like, you know what? I think I'm ready. Right? Is that the story?
You know what I just heard that I think makes sense? The thing is, the job was too simple. Like, the job that I was doing at that time is something that I've done in the past. So I really wasn't learning and progressing anymore. So at that point, I'm really like, oh, yeah, simple. I can keep it and do the thing on the side. And I can keep maintaining that. But at some point, it just gets old. Like, all right, I'm just not progressing here anymore. So let me just move on here.
Got it.
So that's really what I heard from that. Like, oh, maybe that's really one of the things that kind of happened for me.
So we got three different stories. Mine was based, like, I didn't hate my job. Mine was based on a calculation and a plan. I'm like, if I'm making this amount of money, I looked at my income from my job for like the last 3-4 months, and it was consistent. And I set my quit number, like, yo, if I make X amount of dollars every single month. You want a seat at the table, but what if you want a seat at an award show? A seat at Fashion Week, or a seat with the board of directors for a cause that excites you, a career that puts you in the driver's seat where your passions become your purpose. Do you love the world of music, the excitement of high fashion, or perhaps you're driven by a desire to make a difference? No matter your passion, accountants are helping to lead the way to keep the music playing, the runways alive, and communities thriving. Imagine being an accountant, working in the music industry, working closely with your favorite artists on their financial strategies, or picture yourself as an accountant working in fashion, an essential part of the production process, helping designers thrive. Or how about an accountant working with nonprofits, impacting the community by guiding fiscal decisions? Well, Deloitte's Making Accounting Diverse and Equitable, or MADE, M-A-D-E, is here to help you seize that seat. They're redefining accounting, especially for high school and college students, with a core focus on making a difference. If you're on the hunt for a career where your passions meet potential, take a moment to visit Deloitte Made's website at deloittemade.com. Deloitte.com. DeloitteMade.com. Wherever important decisions are being made, accountants are helping to lead the way. The future of accounting starts with you. Month for 3 months consistently, then I leave. So it took me a little while to do it. But once I really had things rolling, I said, oh, well, based on the calculation, I'm going to do it. So I didn't leave because I hated my job. And I think this is a good testimony for people that are watching now. Everybody's going to have their different reason for leaving. And I think we need to ask ourselves, is it the right reason? I don't recommend people quitting the way you quit.
No, I don't recommend. So as you're talking, I'm thinking about it. My eyes are watering because I'm sneezing. I am thinking about it, and I don't recommend that people. I recommend that if you make an emotional decision, you can afford to.
Mm-hmm. Right? 'Cause you had money coming in.
I had money.
It wasn't just, I hate this place, let me figure it out after.
So let me back this up. A few years prior, I worked in the same field but a different company. And I was the token black girl of this particular office. In my industry, that just kind of was what it was at the mm-hmm. time. I was the token black girl in this company, and I was the only person who held a real estate license, like a salesperson's license and a CAM license. So I was highly qualified. And I was in a position, this is when Atlanta started really converting apartment buildings into condos. Mm-hmm. And so I was managing the process, but also selling condos. So I'm making a whole lot of money, right? Mm-hmm. And I had managers there as well. I had bosses. But because I have this sales commission coming in, I'm making more money than anybody in the office. Mm-hmm. And they weren't having it. They were giving me the hardest time ever with like taking time off. I really couldn't get time off because I was the only licensed real estate salesperson in the company here in Atlanta at that time. And this is the job where I tell the story that I would pull up. My office was in this condo building on the first floor, and I would pull up to my job playing 8-ball and MJG every single day. Like, these people played with me in my face so much. I literally pulled up blasting "Don't Make Me Kill." No motherfucking body in here. I'ma shoot. 3 shots. Somebody done made me hot. You got me. No. So I would literally pull up to that job, and I was so emotional with how I treated them because of how they treated me that when then the recession happened, I wasn't the person who was kept. I allowed my emotions to put me in a position where I was easy to let go, mm-hmm. right? I did not have enough money. I would go on, you know, that was an emotional decision, emotional reactions. I didn't have enough money. And then later I would go on a couple of months later to foreclose on my home and all my cars and everything be repossessed. So I don't recommend that you play the game that way when you can't afford to.
Correct.
By the time I left in 2014, I could afford to leave. And just me, and this is a character flaw that I have, but I'm gonna let you know you played in my face, and I'm gonna make you pay for it. Mm-hmm. And that kind of was where I was,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, there. I think it's really important. And take this note: if you are feeling away and you feel like you want to be a full time entrepreneur because you don't like your job, that doesn't necessarily change your work ethic. You know what I mean? It's not like I've got a job, I'm not really hustling in my business, and I feel like if I quit my job, I'm gonna go harder. That's not, is it?
That's not.
That's no. not the case.
People think that's go harder though. Although I did.
Yeah, not yes, for sure. And you got an ecosystem of people that's like that's what we talk about on a regular basis, right? But for the average person, you quitting your job is not gonna make you go harder in mm-hmm. your business. You have to be going hard in your business already.
And let me say, that's a great point. You have to be going hard in your business already. I do think that when you initially quit your job, there's like this adrenaline rush mm-hmm. and there's this fabricated almost like manufactured is the word that I'm looking for. There's this manufactured motivation attached to I'm a boss now. I'm a CEO. I do my own thing. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm getting up every day and I'm working from Starbucks. I'm taking meetings all day. I'm on sales calls all day. I'm driving around. I'm going out for the money. There is a season of that. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you hit that peak where a goal isn't being met,
right,
that motivation decreases little by little, and quickly you will find that you're not working hard. But also on the flip side of that, it can be dangerous to have all of the success and you are hitting your goals. And I see it all the time where people are just hitting their goals and it's happening so easily that now the motivation decreases because they feel like they make the money easily.
Yeah.
Either way, that manufactured motivation that you have right when you quit your job is a fleeting thing, and you have to judge what you're capable of doing in your business based on the work that you were already demonstrating when you still had a security blanket.
For sure. Even quitting in a season of prosperity is dangerous. So you can have a season where, oh my gosh, the last five weeks have been so lit. Look at what's going on, y'all. And it was just that season.
Listen,
it was just that particular season.
I have had some seasons. I have had some seasons. I have been trying at entrepreneurship since I was 17 or 18 years old. I can't really remember, but I started a business in college. I was 17 or 18, and I have been going back and forth with attempting entrepreneurship. You have this season where it's like, I know I can do something. You start this business and it goes okay until it doesn't. And then you quit. And then I became a committed employee again. I'm not thinking about a business. I'm just going to take this stable job and do this stable thing. And then something motivates you and you're back at entrepreneurship. And then you're one foot in and one foot out. I have been trying my hand. And if I'm being totally honest with myself, until 2014, like, I called myself a full-time entrepreneur as well. Like, around 2010-ish, when I opened my club, when I opened my boutiques, I'm like, I'm a full-time entrepreneur and blah, blah, blah. Really, I was just someone who, for a period of time, was unemployed with a side hustle. Right? Like, and you have to be real with yourself. Like, we're not all full-time entrepreneurs. Many of you are just unemployed right now. And you have a side hustle and you're figuring things out that help you make money and keep money coming in, but you're not really a full-time entrepreneur right now because you got to have some full-time revenue that's being generated as a result of that. So
that's a fact.
That's really important.
That's a fact. We might as well just get into some teaching because there are some people that are either considering their job. There you go. They're either considering quitting their job or they don't know when the right time is going to be to quit their job. So let's give a few considerations on when it's or what we should consider before we quit our job.
Mm-hmm.
Before we
even engage in that conversation and do a deep dive, back at the time where I like one-on-one coached entrepreneurs who were just getting started, one of my hard rules or one of my hard determining factors to consider was whether you were a single person, whether you were single with children, or whether you were married and married with children. Those things all make a difference. If you are a single person who's really, you're your only responsibility, there are different risks that you can take that I wouldn't recommend you take if you're a single mom and or if you're a husband and in your household, you're the provider and you've got to bring the home the bacon and eggs for the family. I would just recommend slightly different strategies for those dynamics.
Gotcha. Is that number one or that's just kind of preface?
That's to preface this.
Okay, good. All right. So you want to start with number one or I'll start with number one?
You start.
Okay. Number one, before you, if this is for the person who has a job and a business and you're trying to balance this, you're trying to figure out how can I make the transition to leave? The first thing, number one, and this list is in no particular order, but I think number one should remain number one. And that is consider your expenses. You need to know how much you make and how much you need to survive. Is my camera low, Reese? Mm-mm. Or is that just on there? It's cool. Don't worry. Yeah. You have to consider your current financial picture. That would be number one. Consider your current financial picture. If you hate your job and you hate your manager, but you don't have a lot going on in terms of your business already, you can't afford to be angry at nobody at that job. You cannot afford to leave pissed.
You better be nice.
You better get in there and smile.
It's okay. I get it. You made a mistake. No problem.
For sure.
We all have our bad days.
Get out your feelings and get you, like, consider how much debt do you have? How much does it take to live? How much money do you have coming in for your business? You have to look at your total financial picture, especially, like Donnie said, if you got some babies. Do not be selfish because you can't control your emotions long enough to get through the day, to get your paycheck, to feed your kids. You say, I'm out. They disrespected me. I can't work in this environment. Then you get home and your children are going to suffer because you haven't figured out entrepreneurship yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you have to be ready and prepared every time you leave, but we need to consider our financial picture. Where are we? How much does it cost to live, especially for a certain amount of time? How much money do we have saved? How much do we have?
Mm-hmm. So typically, just as a standard, and don't forget, you guys, everything isn't for everybody. But as a general rule of thumb, if you are single and you only have yourself to think about, if you were my client, I would say, sure, you can quit if you have a proven concept and, you know, all things considered, you can quit your job if you have 3 to 6 months of your expenses, both living expenses and business expenses, saved in the bank. That's just my blanketed advice.
You said 3 to 6 months.
3 to 6 months. Okay. If you have children and or a spouse, and your finances matter to the to the livelihood, then I recommend that you have at least 6 to 12 months saved.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, listen, if you're single and you just got to worry about you, jump out the window. You can always get another job.
Jump off the porch, baby. Kick out.
Listen
to
me.
You can figure out how to make ends meet for a minute.
When I quit the Cheesecake Factory, I left on good terms. Shouts out to Jimmy Z. He was actually, I think, just celebrated 25 years at the Cheesecake Factory. Best manager I've ever worked for in my life. And I went up to him and, you know, he already had saw what was going on and he was just super proud of me. And there's a lot of managers that were there were like, yo, if you ever, you know, we're here. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? If you ever need to come in, get some extra shifts or something like that. No, they were super supportive. But my mindset was, it's just me. Mm-hmm. I got a couple dollars saved. If I ever, even if the Cheesecake Factory doesn't take me back, yeah, I can get a serving job anywhere because I'm leaving on good terms. I didn't throw no sandwiches at nobody when I left. Mm-hmm. I didn't come in with a marching band and create a I'm quitting song. I just, you know, thank you so much. I appreciate it. This was an amazing experience, but I got to go follow my dream. So I was single, so I dipped.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot harder when you got other people to consider. Yeah, that's good.
For sure. It's a lot harder. And you used the word earlier. It's just selfish,
yeah,
right? It's selfish to shake up everybody's stability because of your dream. And that's just one of those things that we have to kind of live with as an adult when we make certain decisions and we have a certain timeline that happens for us. You can still pursue your dreams, but it just has to happen in a proper order now that you've acquired other responsibilities.
100%. What's number two? What to consider before leaving your job?
Before leaving your job, I am going to suggest that you consider having a proven business model.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So not just leaving because you have an idea, something that you hadn't actually brought to market yet, but leaving because you have a business model that's produced consistent revenue, mm-hmm, that we can forecast right now. Obviously, when you leave your job, the whole point is for you to grow that revenue and take it to another level. But you can at least forecast what you have going on right now, and you know that it's enough to take care of yourself. You need a proven business model. Let me tell you guys something. One of there's two types of people that are going into entrepreneurship kind of at haste. There's going to be one person who jumps off the porch and they're building with their back against the wall out of duress, from under duress, and they are going to thrive because that kind of pressure motivates them on a whole other level. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be somebody else who's building with their back against the wall because they don't have a proven business model and they're shaking up trying to find customers, and they are going to fail miserably because they do not build well under pressure. And so the general rule of thumb is to just go ahead and have your model proven. You know how to get customers. You know how to take sales. You've got some system set up so that you are building your business when you're quitting your job. You're working both in and on the business, but from a place from, okay, now that we're here, how do we grow it versus, okay, now that we're here, how do we get out of this hole?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was saying earlier that, like to your point, I have a proven business model. It took me 2.5 years to quit my job. But those were a strong 2.5 years. It wasn't like because you could be in business for a certain amount of time, but not be making any money or doing business or really going hard. I was going hard for them. I'm talking about from day one when I got them first 72 t-shirts, mm-hmm. I was going in. So it took 2.5 years of ups and downs and ebbs and flows. But when I finally fixed my mind to say I'm going to quit, I set a quit number. I told myself, if I want to say my number was like 4,000 a month or 3,000 a month, something like that. But let's just as an example, if I can make $4,000 every single month in my business, not total, but from my business, I'll quit. And the way I was thinking about it was, let's say for instance, month one, I made 4,000. Month two, I made 4,200. Month three, I made 3,700. The clock starts over. I need to be able to consistently for three consistent months make $4,000. Mm-hmm. So it took me a little while to get these three under control. But once I did, I said, yep, I'm out. Got it. And I started calculating it in my head. I'm saying, this is what I'm doing with people coming to my house, me dropping off t-shirts. If I can just redirect this traffic to this kiosk in the mall, and I don't know what made me think to get a kiosk in the mall to build my t-shirt brand, because I had never, ever seen anybody do it. People sell oils and jewelry and
sunglasses,
CDs. Mm-hmm. I met the guy who was, I don't know if y'all remember, but it was a guy, if y'all in Atlanta, y'all know, it was a guy who had a CD kiosk and they just sold their music. Do you remember?
It sounds familiar, but I can't.
They're in the middle. They are going to hawk you down and say, hey, they got some headphones. This is pre-pandemic, because they put the same headphones on everybody. To this music. And they stopped, put the music on, they listening. Cool. And then they were selling these CDs for like $10, but they were making a killing.
Yeah, I remember those guys walking through the mall, but I don't think I ever saw their kiosk.
My man had a kiosk.
Wow.
Going crazy. And they were making bread. So when I'm walking through the mall, I'm like, yo, what if I just sold my t-shirts here? So I talked to the guy and he's like, yo, yeah, we really get into it. We get into the money. He's showing me the sale. I'm like, yo, the model was crazy. I'm like, yo, this is amazing. He'll have other artists sell their CDs too, and he gets a cut of it. I'm like, this is incredible. I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna sell the t-shirt kiosk. I said, how much, identify how much they want. They said they wanted $2,000 a month, $2,000 initial deposit, that's $4,000. But I was saying to myself, if I'm doing $2,000, if it's $2,000 a month for this kiosk, and I can reroute the traffic that I already had going to my house, what in the world? That was weird. I can reroute the traffic that I'm selling right now and just get them out of my house and come to the kiosk. I'm going to be fine. I'm going to be cool. In addition to all the traffic in the mall. So I had a proven model. I figured out that people like these t-shirts and I can sell these t-shirts. I just got to get in front of more people. So that was something I considered before I quit my job.
Yeah.
Good. Number three, this could be important. Getting to know yourself and your own bad habits.
Oh, for sure.
Are your habits?
For sure.
What were some habits that you had before you quit that could have crashed your business? Like, this is something about me that could really kill my business.
Procrastination. Mm-hmm. Procrastination was definitely. So, okay, I have a couple. Some of my bad habits that I really had to, and I'm still not perfect in these areas, right? But procrastination could definitely have taken me out of the game, and overspending could have taken me out of the game. Like when I, there was a time, not when I finally quit, but when I owned a clothing store, we would just go ham on like inventory. And especially there was a transition moment where I lost my business partner and I was I owned the clothing store outright by myself. And I would just buy whatever I wanted, not really thinking about, okay, let me buy size runs, small size runs, and get rid of this first. It's like, if I want it, I buy it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. Because it wasn't like, in my mind, I wasn't spending money on my own personal things. I was spending money on things to help my business grow. But I was learning. I had never really owned a physical clothing store before. Facebook and marketing on Facebook had just really kind of become a thing. So I was learning all of these skills and things. But while I'm learning these skills, my habits weren't changing. So I was overspending, overbuying inventory, had a terrible habit of procrastinating. Was there any other habit? What was some of yours?
Laziness. Mm-hmm. I'll go in spurts where I go hard in spurts, but then I just get lazy. Trying to impress people.
Mm-hmm. Are these things that you still struggle with?
Oh yeah.
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 You know, I think laziness and procrastination, they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah. Well, no, because I think you can procrastinate on important things while diligently doing things that aren't important.
That's a good point. Laziness is something that I struggle with too. And people are always so surprised to hear that. No lie. This morning, I think it was this morning or maybe late last night, I text Maya, my good friend, shout out to Maya Elias. And she and I are both lazy CEOs and we are proud of it, right? Like I just don't have the desire to be busy all the time. Or I want to be busy doing what I want to do. And so I text her, it was either late last night or this morning, and I said, yo, I looked at my calendar and I actually have to leave the house every day this week. What is going on? Like, I literally have to get out of the house. I leave home 2 days a week. Mm-hmm. I literally have to go somewhere, and I'm talking about Saturday and Sunday too. I have to be somewhere 7 straight days, and I'm like, yo, I cannot wait for this week to kind of speed by
because so I have to leave my house.
I don't have to leave my house and get dressed and think about stuff. Like I just want to sit around like a day. I need a day, and that's still me. I need a lazy day.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Mm-hmm. You know what? When we start talking about like the habits, you would think, like you said, overspending. That's big, y'all. You would think that if you're about to quit and you're going to leave your job, you have a certain amount of money set aside. And you would think that you become a little more conservative with your spending because you have this savings and you know you don't have any more coming in right now. But actually what I found is the spending starts to accelerate for some reason. Mm-hmm. And maybe because you got more time in your day and you're bored. And what do we do when we're bored? We spend money.
Oh, we get hungry.
We
get real hungry.
Oh,
my
gosh.
Those groceries don't work. We need something quick and convenient. That's another habit. Those groceries don't work. I mean, because by the time I thaw that meat out and I do this and then I start cooking and I really don't have all the ingredients, let me just go run and get something real quick. For sure. One of my habits that I had to break, not just overspending on like inventory or business expenses, but also overspending on shopping and eating out. Like, here's something that changes for you when you become an entrepreneur, especially if you don't have an office to report to. You'll get hungry. Like when you're working a 9-to-5, you have dedicated breaks. You have a lunch break, the end. You might get a 15-minute break, but not really time to go run and get food. Mm-hmm. When you are working from home, you have all the time. The moment your stomach begins to bubble a little, like, was that a hunger wave? Do I feel famished? suddenly this water from the crib isn't working and I must go acquire a fresh juice.
You must. You must.
And that and shopping was a really bad, like, I had a habit early on of rewarding myself, and I still reward myself for my small wins and my big wins, but I had no boundaries on the reward at that time. Like, I'd have a record-breaking sales day and then go spend all the money on something. It's okay, I'll make it back tomorrow. And when you make money, especially when you see, like, if you've ever been, like, if you've ever been a waiter, a server, a drug dealer, a stripper, something like that, where money is just coming in all day, every day. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. When you see those Stripe notifications come up and you get like, you made a sale, such and such paid you this. It feels like that way. It feels like that day to day hustle money. Mm-hmm. And so it's really easy to take that money and go and spend with the mindset of, I'll make it back tomorrow.
100%. 100%. My gosh. Number four, I think it's important to have a why that anchors you. Mm. Like, am I frozen on Instagram? Am I frozen? Having a why that anchors you.
That's mine,
Instagram,
right?
Disconnected?
That's probably mine.
I think that's mine, I think. No?
I don't know.
Okay. We'll just keep going. Oh, that was yours?
I'm pretty sure it's mine.
Why your joint be leaving?
I don't know. I think it gives an hour.
Oh, a certain time. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So you need to have a why that anchors you. Yeah, I think it kind of goes into the other part that we were talking about, like leaving off of emotion. And if that the way you feel will be fleeting, but that why that anchors you will get you up every single morning and get you going hard every single day. But without that, if there's not a real driving reason other than the fact that I want to make more money, or there's some people in your life that you want to take care of, I'm telling you, and it sounds so cliche, like you got to know your why, but it's so important because your emotions and how you feel will change. But that why that anchors you, when you promise your wife a particular lifestyle and you know they're doing everything they can to support you, it's really hard to come back in the house knowing you didn't give it all you had. Mm-hmm. It's really difficult when you know that imagine the scenario where, okay, Corey is 13. She comes home and she worked really, really hard to get a good grade. She struggled in this subject, but she studied and passed the test that she'd been waiting to pass, the milestone, whatever it is. And she says, Dad, I worked so hard on this and I passed it. Finally, thank you for believing in me. I knew I could do it. In your mind, that child deserves some sort of reward. But wouldn't it be sad if you can't get the reward and you can't give the reward, not because they don't deserve it, but because you didn't do what you had to do to go provide that? It's been a fear of mine ever since she was 7 years old. And I'm like, yo, I don't ever want her to deserve something that I can't provide. Mm. You know what I mean?
I know exactly. Listen,
if you ain't balling out with your kids and all that, and you ain't got the money, we not getting new shoes, all that kind of stuff, because like that ain't what we doing, right? Or I don't believe in just spoiling your kid just to be spoiling your kid. But when they want something and they deserve that thing, and the only reason is not because of parenting, not because you don't want to spoil them, but the only reason is because you didn't do what you needed to do to be able to provide that. I knew I would have felt like a failure as a parent.
It's no worse feeling than not being able to access something for people you love, and you sit down and you really reflect on why, and it's like, because I didn't show up. Mm. I have experienced that myself, like my laziness, my procrastination, my lack of motivation, like just things that have just naturally happened and impacted me emotionally or mentally. And it's like, now it's time for me to show up for my loved ones, and I can't, but I could have.
Come on.
There is no worse feeling. no worse feeling than that. Like, to know that you could, like, it's one thing if you don't have a pathway, you don't have access to something. But once you decide to take on entrepreneurship now, you have an unlimited ability to provide. You have an unlimited ability to generate, right? And you generating revenue, clients, customers, whatever that looks like, what you're able to generate really is on you. How willing are you to invest in marketing? How willing are you to invest in mentorship? How willing are you to invest in your business? How willing are you to invest in your own skills and expertise and knowledge? You really are tapped into an unlimited ability to generate. When you are unable to provide and you really sit down and assess, well, did I really put everything into it? Did I really tap all the way in? And you start thinking about all the hours you spent scrolling on Instagram instead of acquiring customers. You start thinking about your desire to be lazy more than your desire to work. So you're canceling all your sales calls and this, that, and the other. You start thinking about, oh, I really should have finished that website and had that going by the 1st, but I didn't get it done until the 21st. And those 20 days matter. Yeah. You start thinking about those things and you feel like the scum of the earth when it matters.
Man, I'm gonna let you get into number 5, but it reminds me of something my man G said to me a while ago. He just called me randomly and he said, don't let you be the reason you failed.
Yeah.
Don't let you be the reason you failed. And I said, yo, G, what are you talking about? I don't understand. He said, the reason you failed, let it be the fact that there was a worldwide pandemic and you couldn't get your products
out of your control.
Let it be the fact that you were hospitalized. You couldn't really go build. Let it be the fact that somebody stole all your capital. He said, but don't let you be the reason you failed. Mm-hmm. I'll never, ever forget that. Mm-hmm. Ever.
Ever. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's really strong. What number are we on?
Number 5.
Number 5, knowing what I know today, I would certainly recommend mentorship and coaching. I would absolutely recommend mentorship and coaching. When I initially started, actually, now that I think about it, when I had one of my closest to being full-time, when I had my boutique, I had people that I went to for mentorship, like in spurts. Can you help me? This is my idea. Can I talk to you? Can I pick your brain kind of deal? And it was happening in spurts. And, you know, I was in business, but when it came time to deal with the ebbs and flows and having to pivot from brick and mortar to really showing up digitally because Instagram boutiques were taking off, you know, starting to take off, I wasn't locked in into any mentorship. I wasn't locked in into anything consistent that I could just tap into right away. Yeah. In 2014, when I quit permanently, you know, and now we're 10 years in full-time entrepreneurship, actually, like somewhere in the next 60 days is my 10-year anniversary. I got to go back and look at my journal and see what the date was. But now that we're here, when I quit, I had mentors there. Like you were heavily mentored in the network marketing industry, but I also had mentorship from people that I had met. I had this gentleman that was mentoring me for a while that I met from TD Jakes MegaFest. Mm-hmm. This guy was mentoring me for about a year. And I have consistently been under the tutelage of mentorship and coaching for the last maybe 12 years consistently, right? Just consistently. And it's made such a difference in my business growth. It's made such a difference in my results. It's made a difference in the way that I approach problems and challenges that might come up. And it's made a difference to the access that I have to solutions. Mm-hmm. Like my business has been changed and shifted and made better by simply being able to ask a quick question to someone that I consider a mentor or a coach.
100%. Nah, that's solid. That's solid. Here's a good commercial break. One, if you need a coach, Donnie's a great coach. I am a coach. We are here. We have a podcast summit coming up July 4th and 5th. If you want to be coached in podcasting, go on and go to podcastsummit.com. Quick little commercial break. You're a coach, right, Donnie?
I'm an excellent coach.
How can people get with you for coaching?
ActionableCEO.com, ActionableCEO.com. If you are an entrepreneur who's already doing about $250,000 or more in your business and you need more one-on-one time, go to sixfigureedu.com and just schedule a call. And we will literally, it's a free call to assess whether or not it's a good fit for us to work together.
Slight little commercial break. We back to it. Which leads actually into number six. So leads into number six. What's going on, family? Listen, if you're a new parent, a bad day means you either ran out of coffee, ran out of diapers, ran out of patience, or all of the above. Listen, I don't know what you got to do to get yourself together, but at least Hello Bello's got your baby's butt covered. Hello Bello believes all families deserve premium, affordable baby products. And with their ultra-convenient diaper bundle subscription service that includes 7 packs of diapers and 4 packs of plant-based wipes, you'll never run out of supplies. Better yet, they're delivered to your door. Set, change, and cancel your delivery subscription whenever you want. And as a parent, I know how hard it is to remember to have everything you need to buy all the time. Listen, I so wish when we had our first child that something like this existed. The amount of times me and her mom wished something like this had existed, oh my gosh, it's a busy parent's dream. It's actually, Hello Bello was named Best Diaper Subscription by New York Magazine and winner of the 2022 Good Housekeeping Parenting Award. Hello Bello will keep you well stocked on diapers and wipes. Listen to me, family. Go to hellobello.com/socialproof to get 30% off your first customized bundle and a full-size freebie product of your choice. That's hellobello.com/socialproof to start bundling with 30% off your first order. Don't forget the hellobello.com/socialproof. If you're going to build a big business, for one, it's difficult. It's even more difficult if you don't have the right tools. Let's do some quick math real quick. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But the higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR, into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See all your profit from NetSuite? Listen to me. Everything seems to be more expensive these days. Inflation is going crazy. It only makes sense to cut costs where you can so you can boost performance and improve your bottom line. Listen to me. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/socialproof. 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 You need a community. And a coach is needed, but also as a community is needed. So if you have a coach that comes with the community, you're winning. You need someone that's going to give you guidance, but you also really have to consider your environment because you need an environment where you can grow. Think about the people that you're in an environment with now at your job. The people at your job, believe it or not, may be keeping you at your job because they're all of the same mindset. We're all trying to get to that next level. I've always been an entrepreneur, man, and I've always thought entrepreneurial minded. However, this was maybe 2 years into me working at the Cheesecake Factory. And one of the people that were servers with us, they got a promotion to manager, which means a little more money. Well, the conversation around me and my coworkers were, yo, it might be sweet to go be a manager. You know what I mean? It might be kind of lit to be a manager. Like, look, they don't do a whole lot. They just walk around. They ain't got to take tables, nothing like that. They get a bunch. Cheesecake Factory pays well. The benefits, you get time off. We don't get time off as servers. We work year round. Mm-hmm. And we was like, yo, that management position might be lit. I'm talking to my friend, like, yo, would you be a manager? They're like, yeah. Like, let's figure out what it takes. And I remember me and one of my coworkers going to our general manager, like, yo, what does it take to be a manager? Now, why was I even involved in this conversation when I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur? The answer is, I was in an environment where we talk about getting to that next level in our job as a manager. Mm-hmm. Fast forward, as an entrepreneur, I'm getting around all these entrepreneurs. They make it impossible to quit your job because none of us are considering, like, I mean, they make it impossible to quit your business and go back and get a job because that conversation never happens. For one, when I became an entrepreneur, for some reason, I was around all entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
I wound up writing a book, and then I looked around like, dang, all my friends are authors too. And
yes.
Isn't that crazy?
Yo, it's so insane because one person would look at that and say, wow, everybody's copying me. Everybody's doing the same thing. Another person looks at it and says, wow, we're all leveling up together.
It's an environment.
It's environment.
Yeah, I moved around a couple times, but I always played basketball. For some reason, don't ask me how, for some reason, my friend group, when I moved to a new city, always involved people who are hoopers that loved basketball. We talk basketball. How is that? If I was into science and I was one of those kids that's always interested in like biology class and all kinds of stuff, I'd have probably been around the biology group. Mm-hmm. Like I've been around the biology crew. Baseball players hang together, football players hang together, rappers hang together. Don't ask me how I always find the cipher when I move to a new city. People like, It's the law, okay? So before you quit your job, you'd had better find an environment of people who are entrepreneurs just like you. Get there fast before you quit the job. Just start getting in that momentum because you will find some people. I believe, we'll never know. But if you weren't like in the morning meetup or around entrepreneurs every single morning, I don't think you would quit as fast as you quit. Or even be considering quitting because you might have a group of friends of people who are like corporate minded, doing well corporately. Y'all sit around and laugh about how little y'all do for the money that you make. Mm-hmm. It's the environment and we stay there forever. Why would I ever quit?
Why would you ever quit? Yo, that's so dope. I'm thinking about it. Like your environment should almost be at the top of the list. It should be number one, really, because it lays the foundation for everything else. It's going to lay the foundation for how you prepare financially, for how mm-hmm. you prepare informationally, for how you prepare from a responsibility standpoint. You have to get solid people around you. And there's someone who's listening to this and say, oh, it's so great that you had these people that supported you. That's not my reality. When the truth is, you actually have to go out and find people that are going to support you. And one of the easiest ways to find people who are going to support you is to be a person who supports other people. You'll never believe, like, even when David and I met, David was introduced to me in a network marketing opportunity. At that time, I was one of the top female performers in that company. And mm-hmm. he was introduced to me as a person like, oh, you should know her. Yeah. You guys can build together. You can do something. She can show you some things. Right. And David, even though he had his own thing going on, he didn't come into the scenario like, oh, I'm an entrepreneur too. And I do blah, blah, blah. He came in like, yo, heard about you. Dope, mm-hmm. right? I would love to support you. Let me know how I can help. And in return, I said the same thing. Like, I hadn't heard yet of his t-shirt company, but the person who introduced us told me about it. And I'm like, I would love to check your stuff out. I would love to come and support you. And I did what I said I was going to do. I told him I was coming to the kiosk. I went to the kiosk. Mm-hmm. I bought t-shirts and we ended up talking for hours about business and what do you need? What do I need? How can I help? How can you help? I'd love to support that. that's how that start. This started off just on meeting, being in an environment where people are eager to support each other, where people are eager to grow. And so I don't know what number we're on.
You'll be on 7.
Number 7, I would recommend that in addition to like just mentorship and coaching, David talked about having a group of people around you, but I am going to take that just a little further and say, find your tribe, like going to the conferences and events that are going to elevate your network and your skill set, going to events that are going to elevate both your network and your skill set. Super, super important. Many of the major relationships that I have today are as a result of me being at the conference. Mm-hmm. They're a result of me being at the networking event. I am the most introverted extrovert I know. David will tell you, like, nobody knows or ever believes that I'm shy. David will tell you, I get in environments and I'm standing in the corner. Like, I'm like, yo, you parked yet? He's like my security blanket. You parked yet? Because I'm not going in until you go in. Like, that's really who I am. Now, when I am in the environment, I thrive.
Yeah.
I know how to show up and turn it on. But me, like, taking the icebreaker for me is it just gives me all kinds of anxiety. Instead, like, he's like, I want to introduce you to somebody. I'm like, oh, my God, why is this even important? You know? But once we're there, we're there. Most of the majority of the solid relationships that I have, David, met him at a networking event. Maya, met her at a networking event. Milan, met her at a speaking engagement. All of the, like, the people that I have around me came from some type of an event. So if you are struggling, if you don't have the support of your family and your friends, you go where the people are who are like-minded and they're already supporting each other, and you find a tribe of people that you connect with. And you become one of those supporters and you'll receive it back for
That's
sure.
That's a fact. I only got one more.
Okay.
I think it's important. Before you quit your job, learn how to make a sale. If you are shy when it comes to sales, you need to fix that before you quit your job. Learn, take a sales course, read a book on sales, start practicing taking your product and selling. I don't care if it's door to door. I don't care if it's through somebody's DM. You need to, sales is probably the most important skill set you can learn when it comes to business. You might be an introvert, you might, whatever. I'm telling you, you cannot walk around life with that handicap. Because if you ever learn how to make a sale, you'll always be able to make a sale. If you don't learn how to make a sale, which a lot of it is psychological, a lot of it is, I'm nervous to approach this person, I don't know what to say. You got to break out of that as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to pitch something. You got to sell. The way we make money as business owners is making sales. Mm-hmm. So you are going to have to make some. How's your sales ability? How's it?
Not great.
Not great?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably at a 4. But yeah. Yesterday, I spent the whole day calling people. And
there we go.
I felt myself getting better and better.
There we go. So love it. Love it. Learn how to make a sale, man.
Yeah.
That's it.
And the last one that I'll leave you with is develop thick skin fast.
Quickly.
Develop thick skin at hyper speed. Okay? Because the truth of the matter is, there, you will be faced with a variety of situations. Your situation may be that people don't really like the idea that you're really attached to, and it's going to hurt your feelings, and it's going to make you want to quit instead of going back to the drawing board and figuring out how to make this more attractive. You got to have thick skin. People are going to judge everything that you do right. And you can take it personally and say, all I do is help people and blah, blah, blah. And now I want to quit. You got to have thick skin. People are going to take the mistakes that you make, the words that come out of your mouth, and they are going to paint a picture about you that is slanderous and untrue and just downright hurtful. And you have to wake up and you have to get up and decide to keep going every single day. I woke up to a DM this morning, literally the first thing that I saw on the internet that was just downright slanderous. Mm-hmm. I still got to come in here and do what I got to do.
Still got to work.
I still got to come in here and work. I still have to build a business. when you decide to become an entrepreneur and you're full-time at it and you're doing great, and especially if you are successful, you are already the cream of the crop.
Facts.
You have already risen above. And unfortunately, there will be people who are proud of you, but there will be people who despise you because your success is a mirror in their face about the things that they have not done yet, couldn't do if they tried. And it also exposes their laziness. It exposes their weakness. It exposes their fear. It exposes their insecurity. And people will go on the off the deep end to tear you apart.
100%.
But this is something that's in you. It's not on you. And you have to have thick skin at the end of the day.
Mandatory. Listen, y'all, for those that are about to quit your job, congratulations. For those that never thought about quitting their job, congratulations, because we might have planted a seed. Mm-hmm. And you can do this. Mm-hmm. You can live the life that you want to live. I don't know if you know it or not, but you can design your life.
Live your life by your own design. One of my favorite things to teach. Live your life by your own design. Like, that actually is a thing.
100%.
Yeah.
Listen, y'all, we hope it's been valuable. If you are looking for coach, community, Donnie and I both have really dope community, especially for somebody that wants to get started. It's not super expensive. Less than $100 a month. We have Actionable CEO. Mm-hmm. You want to tell them about the program?
Yep. Actionable CEO is a mentorship community for entrepreneurs who are looking to develop professionally, financially, and personally. We have a great time in there, you guys, disrupting bad habits, creating new ones, learning business principles, developing your strength and building your muscles as an entrepreneur. It's $97 a month. We meet every single week on Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We have live co-working sessions, just so many great things that are happening there. But I would love to mentor you. It's for anyone who said, I'd love to work with Donnie, but I'm not ready yet. I'd love to work with Donnie, but I can't afford it just yet. I'd love to work with Donnie, but I'm kind of scared. I don't know. ActionableCEO.com. Go and see if it's a good fit for you. But not just that. We got the morning meetup.
Come on with it.
We got the morningmeetup.com. And I got to tell you guys, I have spoken inside of the morning meetup so many times over the years. And it's such an inspiring community of entrepreneurs who are just winning, who are succeeding, who's built like a family-like environment. For sure. They get up 8 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday, and meet every single day. David is there. He's teaching. He's bringing special guests in there. Community events. Like, you cannot go wrong. Morning meetup, themorningmeetup.com. But I'm going to tell you what's better. I'm going to tell you what's best.
Hold on real quick. I got to say one more thing. Right now, you can join for free. We got a 7-day trial. We just implemented a 7-day trial.
Okay.
So there's a lot going on the internet where, you know, someone might sell you something. You're like, I don't know what I'm going to get. I'm daring you to try the morning meetup for free. No obligation. Cancel before the 7 days. You won't be charged a dime. Just check it out. It's a good program, right?
It's a good program, yeah.
It's an excellent program.
Yeah. Okay. You want to tell him about it?
Come on, yeah.
He didn't even want to be here today. Thank you. It was cool. But he's in the morning meetup. But what's better, Donnie?
The better choice is for you to take advantage of them both.
Both.
Really, like, both. Take advantage of them both. When you think about the expense that you put out to learn the valuables, the valuable information that you get, the relationships that you build, like,
for sure.
Take David and I out of the equation. The network of other entrepreneurs and resources that you find inside of the Actionable CEO and the Morning Meetup are priceless, and you need them both.
Join them both. We can't wait to see you in our community. So thank you so much for joining. Thanks for checking us out. Thank you for subscribing and all the support.
Thank you for being
here. Yeah, man. All the support. Yeah, shouts out to all the support. I know you talked about, like, the people that's like that have something negative to say about you. Mm-hmm. But I don't think we give enough, and I don't think we ever can give enough appreciation for the people who love us.
We appreciate
the people
you
that's
guys.
Always motivating us and inspiring us. And they see us in the airport and they, you know, they want to take pictures. It's like, yo, we followed a podcast. You said this on this episode. You said that. I don't think we could ever, but I don't think enough we appreciate those who show us love. And we say it, but we want to just take a moment for those people who really support us. I'm talking about in the comments where somebody say something negative. You ever had somebody say something negative in your comments? And then you got the Donnyites. They're coming like, hold on, you ain't gonna come over here talking about my Donnie.
We get it all the time. Listen, sure. Y'all show up and show out for us. So we want to thank you. We love you guys. We support you guys as well. That's why we show up here every single day. Mm-hmm. This is our way of being able to give back at scale. Because we can never touch anybody individually, but we keep showing up on the Social Proof Podcast to deliver what we think is valuable information to you. As usual, drop your biggest takeaway in the comments. Yep. If you don't have a takeaway, just say, Donnie and Dave, we support you in the comments as well. We love it. We thank you. And we will see you next week.
Peace.
Bye.
What if you could have a career where the opportunities are as vast as our nation, where it's not about mission statements, but a shared mission? At U.S. Customs and Border Protection, we go beyond to protect more than borders. From ship to shore, air to ground, cities to local communities, CBP agents and officers are keeping people safe. Join U.S. Customs and Border Protection and go beyond for something far greater than yourself. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.